Hi diddly ho neighborinos, welcome into the week 17 edition of Sunday Best. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, and for those of you who were able to bring home a championship, congratulations. And those of you who came up a little short, I've been there, I know the feeling, and there's always next year. But for those of you who are listening because you play in week 18, I got you covered. Just like last week, since there were multiple games before Sunday, I'll cover Christmas Day games, the Saturday games, and some of the Sunday games. I'm not going to hit every game. I'm not going to hit every player. But what I will do is circle around the league and hit 10 or so of the most impactful performances, tell you what happened, what they mean. And it's going to be a little different this week since we're going into week 18 where players sit based on different playoff scenarios. May not hit quite as many players, but I tried to focus on those who could be impacted by playoff seeding, divisions being won, losses and wins that have an impact on players' availability for week 18. Now, I mentioned last week that I wasn't sure if week 17 was going to be the last episode for the fantasy football season, the year of our Lord 2025, and it is. I think it makes the most sense to let this be the last episode for 2025. I will be back in 2026. I'm going to be doing some off-season potting, some off-season work, articles, videos. Don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet, but be on the lookout. There will be plenty of stuff coming from myself, from QB List this offseason. And for one last time, in the year 2025, pitter patter, let's get at her. The way the Lions and Vikings played on Christmas Day, you'd have thought it was Minnesota that was fighting for a playoff spot. Jared Goff picked a pretty bad day to have one of his worst games in recent memory, completing 18 of 29 passes for 197 yards and just one touchdown. Goff had five total turnovers, throwing two interceptions and lost three fumbles. Amon-Ra St. Brown showed why he's a weekly must-start, even when his quarterback has an abysmal game. He still scored nearly 15 fantasy points without catching a touchdown, catching 8 of 13 targets for 68 yards. But Jameson Williams was a different story, catching only two passes on three targets for 37 yards and failing to score 10 or more points for the first time since week 12. J-Mo's been much more consistent this season, but with such an awful performance from Goff, he never had a chance. But there may not have been a more disappointing player in all of fantasy for week 17 than Jahmyr Gibbs, who saw his usual allotment of carries, but didn't get the pass game work that saved him over the past month or so. It was his fifth straight game rushing for under 70 yards, but it was his first with fewer than four targets since week 10. Although the Lions are eliminated from the playoffs with a loss to Minnesota, their head coach is Dan Campbell. After the loss to Minnesota, Campbell said, I quote, "We've got one game to go. I expect everybody to be ready to go when we get back in a couple of days. Be locked in and be ready when we get on the plane to go to Chicago." End quote. I expect the Lions to play their starters a full game in week 18 outside of anybody with injury concerns and have an opportunity to bounce back bigly against the Bears. I've admittedly not been on the Jacory Kroski-Merritt bandwagon, but there's something to be said for a guy who can get into the end zone three straight games. Also something to be said for a guy who can rush for over 100 yards on just 11 carries. Now, I don't still buy long-term value for Bill. He's been eating up awful run defenses like the Giants and the Cowboys, but Washington heads to Philadelphia to face an Eagles team that doesn't really have much to play for. Philly locked up the NFC East in Week 17 and can only finish as either the 2 or the 3 seed for the NFC playoffs. There's a very good chance the Eagles could rest a significant amount of starters, but nothing's really certain at this point, recording on Sunday night. JCM is playing well enough to be worthy of starting as a flex regardless, but if the Eagles sit their starters, he could wind up as a high-end RB2 for Week 18. Bo Nix put up another solid yet unspectacular performance against the Chiefs, leading Denver to the W but failing to throw for multiple touchdowns for the sixth time in his last seven games. Cortland Sutton didn't do much, but he did see double-digit targets for the fourth straight game. He's once again the unquestioned wide receiver one on this team. Troy Franklin has been a serviceable flex with Pat Bryant sidelined recently, but he only caught four passes for 17 yards against the Chiefs. The Broncos are in the driver's seat for the number one seed in the AFC, but they still have to win in Week 18, so it's unlikely that they rest anybody. The problem is similar to my hesitation to start Nix against Kansas City, though. The Chargers are locked into a wildcard spot, have injuries galore, and have little motivation to try out anything other than their JV squad. If the Chargers use Week 18 as essentially a bye week, how much will the Broncos really have to do on offense? Both teams may be content with a low-scoring, run-the-ball, run-the-clock type of game. It's definitely something that's worth keeping an eye on heading into their matchup. C.J. Stroud threw two early touchdowns against the Chargers, but had an uneven game overall. Stroud led the Texans to a playoff-clinching victory, but completed less than 60% of his pass attempts and threw two interceptions against the Chargers. The two touchdown passes came in the first quarter, and both were for over 40 yards, so Nico Collins went ballistic, right? I don't think so, Tim. Unfortunately for Collins, one was a 75-yard bomb to rookie Jaden Higgins, the other was a 43-yarder to rookie Jalen Noel. Not to take anything away from Stroud, because he dropped the ball right in their breadbasket, but the receivers simply blew right past the Chargers secondary. It wasn't anything too impressive from a throwing standpoint from Stroud. The two passes actually accounted for nearly 50% of Stroud's 244 yards on the day. You can safely start your Texans per usual in Week 18, as they still have a chance to win the division. The only way that they could wind up sitting their starters is if Jacksonville winds up playing before them and Jacksonville wins, but I highly doubt the NFL schedule makers are going to let that happen. Somehow, someway, future Hall of Fame running back Derrick Henry added to his already mythical fantasy resume 36 carries, 216 yards, 4 touchdowns, 6 yards per carry, 4 runs of 10 or more yards, 2 runs over 15 yards, 6 forced missed tackles, and 146 yards after contact. A truly legendary performance in the fantasy championship that will literally be talked about for the rest of time. Those of you King Henry fantasy managers who play in Week 18 were given an extra Christmas gift on Sunday when the Steelers blew it big time against the Browns, which set up a win and get in matchup between the Ravens and Steelers come Saturday. There's two guys you cannot stop in December. One of them Santa Claus, and the other is Derrick Henry. Speaking of legendary performances in the fantasy championship, Drake May, threw 5 touchdowns against the Jets, made that MVP race with Matthew Stafford just a little bit tighter. May did so on just 21 pass attempts and sprinkled in 22 rushing yards for good measure. He's the first player in NFL history to have a 90% completion percentage in a game that he threw for over 250 yards and 5 touchdowns. Also lucky for you Drake May managers, the Pats are still in the running for the number one seed in the AFC, so as long as the Broncos don't play before New England and win, expect a full dose of Drake against the Dolphins. Josh Allen had a typical top-tier fantasy performance in the Bills Week 17 loss to the Eagles, but I'm a bit concerned about what the loss could mean for Allen's availability in Week 18. Allen was seen limping and got some post-game x-rays with an apparent foot injury, which reportedly came back negative. But with the Bills locked into a wildcard spot and the lowly Jets up next, Buffalo could consider sitting their starters, or at a minimum, sitting them down mid-game if it gets out of hand quickly. You'd be hard-pressed to sit him, but Josh Allen carries significant risk in the season's final regular season game. Josh Allen had a typical top-tier fantasy performance in the Bills Week 17 loss to the Eagles, but I'm a bit concerned about what the loss could mean for Allen's availability in Week 18. Allen was seen limping and got some post-game x-rays with an apparent foot injury, which reportedly came back negative. But with the Bills locked into a wildcard spot and the lowly Jets up next, Buffalo could consider sitting their starters, or at a minimum, sitting them down mid-game if it gets out of hand quickly. You'd be hard-pressed to sit them, but Josh Allen carries significant risk in the season's final regular season game. Not a whole lot to talk about on the injury front, but there were a couple. Marvin Harrison Jr. left the game after re-aggravating his heel injury and did not return. Geno Smith suffered a high ankle sprain and didn't return. Both of these guys I don't expect to play next week. There's a chance Marvin Harrison Jr. could, but with it being Week 18, nothing to play for, pretty good chance that they might just let him sit and heal up. Breece Hall left in the fourth quarter against the Patriots with a knee injury, but expects to be ready for Week 18 against the Bills. That's a wrap for the first season of Sunday Best. I know I've said it a few times, but I really want to emphasize how grateful I am for anybody listening, whether it's your first time, whether you listen to them all. It really means the world. My number one goal is to help people get better and develop their own process, not just make decisions. So I hope I helped you out in some small way, hopefully come away with some championships, became a better fantasy player this season. Like I said, even though this is the last episode for Sunday Best for this fantasy season, I will be doing content over at QB List all off season long, video content, articles, podcasts, you name it. I won't be back next week, but I'm not going anywhere. Once again, thank you all for listening. And as always, choose love, not hate.